Welcome to Going Beyond Medicine with Elaine Grohman. Conversations with people who are working to make a difference in our world. Now here's your host for Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Elaine Grohman on Empower Radio. This is Going Beyond Medicine. And the show Going Beyond Medicine is really intended to help to bring to the airways people that are doing things to make a difference in our world. And there's so many ways that people are changing their own lives, changing their environments, changing their work processes, changing so many things about what they're doing for the better. And today I'm doing a little bit of a different interview. I'm actually just going to be kind of, if you can interview yourself, I'm going to interview myself. Since I started doing the show in late February, I've actually had several people say, Elaine, you know, why don't you talk about what you do? And, you know, I just thought, well, I'm making this a forum for other people. But, you know, I thought, well, what the heck? Why not? So I thought I'm going to just let people know a little bit about what I do and outside of being on the radio. And to invite you to maybe think differently about what you're doing and how the work that you're doing can enhance your life too. So sometimes some people say to me, you know, Elaine, you need to learn how to toot your own horn. Oh my God, I can't say it right. Own horn. See how hard I have a hard time tooting my own horn? I just want to give you a little bit of background about myself. Aside from doing radio, which I really, really love to do, and first of all, I want to thank my producer, Nate Armbruster, who is just a great guy. He's just, you know, comes in, he's so cheerful. He kind of reminds me of my son a little bit. You know, he could be my son. He's young enough to be my son, God knows. But it's just so wonderful to be in relationships with people that love what they do, that are striving to make new roads for themselves. And it's not always easy. And I can attest to that myself. So for the past 20 years, I have been doing energy work. But long before that, I was a graphic designer. And I was a fine artist since I was a child. I'm now 60 years old. Happy and proud to say that I'm 60 years old. And you know, I think that the work that I did as a younger person in graphic design, and then ultimately my specialty became lettering and calligraphy, I recognize that we're always in need of healing. So if words, as particularly as a lettering artist, words were very meaningful to me. So as if I could create something that would be beautiful enough to pause someone, so that they could look at the message and that the message would really touch them, then that was meaningful to me. And little did I know that later in my life that would be so important, because I eventually became a writer, author of a couple books, always contributing to blogs and doing different things like that. And words are really, really, really important. I have a dear friend who is a linguist who has taught me a great deal about the meaning of words. We use words very without thinking. And words have energy behind them. They have a vibration behind them. And is what I'm going to talk about this hour is how what we do, what we say, what we think affects us. So what I really enjoy doing is I have a private practice in Farmington, Michigan. So this is where this is being broadcast from, is Michigan. And what I see are, who I see are individuals really that are struggling with just trying to find their place in the world. So what that means is someone might be having some physical challenges. They might be having some emotional challenges. They might just want to have some, you know, understanding of some of the complexities of things that are going on in the world. And as an energy healer, the first thing that I find so incredibly important for people to understand is the thing that we often forget first is that our life is the greatest gift we will ever have. So certainly we can have possessions, we have people that come in and out of our lives, and those certainly enrich our lives. but the life, our life itself, is the most valuable, precious thing that we have. And the experiences that we have are, can be rich, they can be challenging, they can be insightful, they can cause all kinds of human reactions. But unless we know who we are and the place that we hold in the earth, we can very easily become victims of our emotions. So as an energy healer, one of the first things that I like to teach people is how to have a physical connection to the living earth. We forget that we are a part of this earth. And if we look around, it was, you know, and as I'm sitting in the studio, this, there's this beautiful forest outside and a beautiful tree and the lush green that, you know, is so evident. And we just kind of take that for granted. We just think, oh, either that's a challenge because you have to mow the lawn or you have to pick up the leaves or whatever, instead of really appreciating that without this tree, we would have no air and therefore we would have no breath. We would have no shade. We would have no beautiful sounds as the wind moves through the trees. And of all the species that live on this planet, humans are the only ones who intentionally or unintentionally disconnect from the living world. And we are the only ones that cause trouble. The trees never cause trouble. The water never causes trouble. You can certainly have natural disasters, but that's not an intentional thing. What we need to learn how to do in order to have balance in our lives is to learn our direct connection to this beautiful planet called Mother Earth. So it's interesting, and I'm sure that many of my listeners can attest to the fact that sometimes when you're trying to learn something, the universe will conspire to help you to know that. So one of the things that I want to talk to you today, I'm going to bring a lot of different subjects here because I'm trying to bring everything together in an hour, but I would certainly ask that you consider taking a look at my website, which is www.elainegrohman.com, to look at some of the classes and workshops and lectures and things that I offer. Because one of the things that I recognize in my life is that I really, really enjoy teaching. I appreciate the opportunity to give people a different perspective about themselves. And in so doing, some of the things that I'm teaching now are called the medicine wheels. And I'd like to talk to you a little bit about what the medicine wheels are. They're really, really a fascinating body of knowledge that are minimally 10,000 years old, which is astonishing to people. They think, oh, you know, they see something that might be called a dream catcher and think that that is a medicine wheel. No, that's not a medicine wheel. For millennium, for many, many thousands of years, people in the Americas, South America and North America, you have to remember there was a time that there was no separation of distinction of countries. There was the continent. There was North and South America. There was a land that people easily moved across because they recognized that they were traveling from place to place on this beautiful earth to see family, number one, to find places where they could live comfortably and with the world, with the natural world. So in other words, to find fresh water, to find shelter, to find animals that they would be able to feed their families, to make their clothing, etc. But when I say that, I want you to understand that this in no way makes these people primitive. In fact, they are quite sophisticated and very, very economical and not so distracted as we are. We're very distracted in our lives. And because of that distraction, we have found things to be more important than experiences. But interestingly now, I'm finding that people are craving experiences. They're craving an understanding of the value of their life. They're craving to get back to a simpler time. Simple does not mean easy. Simple means in more balance with what you're doing. So you rest appropriately, you work appropriately, you play appropriately, you have relationships appropriately. you use things and you renew things appropriately so that there is a continuation for the next generations to come. So back to the medicine wheels, it's a fascinating study because the people that were what were called the carriers of the medicine wheels were people that were referred to as flower soldiers and zero chiefs. So what is fascinating about these medicine wheels, and they're often credited with the Mayans and the peoples of South America, although they were known across the Americas, were that people for many, many, many hundreds of years studied what nature was doing with great diligence, with great record keeping, with great powers of observation. And what they recognized and what the medicine wheels are is a chronicling, if you will, of how creation created. How creation created. And in particular, how creation created the place upon which we live, which is Mother Earth, and gives us a very deep understanding of how much had to go in place, in time, how much preparation, how many beautiful circumstances had to take place over literally tens of thousands of millennia in order to make this planet habitable for us. And we take that for granted so much. We have no idea what it is like for 100 years. The average person has no idea, and we see it as an extraordinary feat when somebody has lived 100 years. So therefore, we have really no conscious awareness of what it takes to have something happen in 200 years, 500 years, 1,000 years, 10,000 years. And so these medicine wheels were teaching tools that were employed to help us to have an appreciation of life. And the beautiful thing about medicine wheels, there's many, by the way, and I was taught and first learned about the medicine wheels, believe it or not, almost, 41 years ago, when quite serendipitously, one of my brothers happened to have a book that was called Seven Arrows, written by a very brave man named Hyamales Storm, who is a Native American referred to as a breed, meaning he is not a pure blood Cheyenne person, but he is a mixed blood person. So that would be referred to as a breed. And quite frankly, there isn't really anyone on this planet anymore who is a purebred anything. We are all amalgamations of many different heritages, ethnicities, belief systems. And what's really important is to recognize that first and foremost, we're people of the earth, no matter where on the earth we live. So some of the, or all of the medicine wheels are referred to as what is called spherical mathematics. So believe it or not, the Mayans are the ones who invented or created the language of mathematics. And I remember the very first time that I was asked to teach this, I was a little bit aghast because my first thought was, oh my God, I'm terrible in math. But I recognize that arithmetic and mathematics are not the same, especially as is employed in the medicine wheels, because mathematics is actually a language that helps us to see how things progress, not just in numerical sequencing or quantitatively, but in qualitatively, which is really fascinating. So I have been teaching for a couple of years this beautiful work called The Medicine Wheels. And again, I learned about this through the first book that I read was called Seven Arrows by Hyamales Storm, who was this Native American who brought in 1972 his seminal book under a lot of duress from the Native world because they were very protected and guarded of this information. But in the ancient prophecies of the native peoples of the Americas, they recognized that there would be a time, and that time is now, by the way, folks, that the medicine wheels would also be taught by white people. Because unfortunately, through the great horrible experiences of Native American genocide, the people and the spirit of the native peoples of the Americas has been broken. And so they don't necessarily all have the ability, the financial backing to travel, to teach, and not necessarily did the Zero Chiefs or the Flower Soldiers. However, what they did have was protection of one another and a great desire to learn and to find balance. So I'm just going to give you some names of some of the medicine wheels, and I would really suggest that you might find these books. They're not easy to find. You can go to eBay, which is where I have found most of them, because the books have been out of print. The first one is called Seven Arrows, and he has sold thousands, or probably millions of books. And it's a beautiful medicine story about understanding the self. And that is our greatest challenge, I believe, in our world today, is understanding the self. Who are we? And we're so much more than what we label ourselves. And we find ourselves to be limited by the words that we use to describe ourselves. So I will speak for myself. So I could say, well, I'm a Caucasian woman. Yes, that's true. I am a sister. Yes, that's true. I am a daughter. Yes, that's true. A wife, a grandmother, a mother, a friend. But I am more than that, because millions and millions of people are all of that. So what makes me, Elaine Grohman, unique is the gifts that I learn and can bring to the world. Not as a gift that is only exclusively for me, but is an opportunity to share with others so that they can learn to navigate life. So I'm just going to give you some of the names of some of the medicine wheels, and then I'll share a little bit more information about his other books, High Male Storm. So the first medicine wheel that I learned about is called the Children's Earth Count, and it's a very sophisticated, beautiful study, body of information that helps us to understand how this planet came to be. How this planet came to be. Now, you have to think about 10,000 years ago, they did not have telescopes. They did not have all the sophisticated information that they have, but everything that they have documented over these years have proven to be true. And then the next one is called the Earth Count. So the Children's Earth Count and the Earth Count. The Children's Earth Count talks about we as children. We are the children of this earth. And how do we begin to understand our place in this earth? How do we understand, first of all, who we are, and then the times in which we look at life in the present moment, in the past, in the future? How was that gleaned? How was that understood? And how do we begin to look at those things, the past, the present, and the future, without being paralyzed by them? Because so many people in our world live their life in the past or live expectantly in the future without actually living in the now, because when they live in the present moment, then they can actually understand that they are creating their future by their current thoughts, by their current actions, by their current belief systems. So, and then there's a beautiful medicine wheel called the Four Powers of the Human Self. And in fact, on Tuesday, June 21st, from 7 to 9 p.m., I will be teaching the medicine wheel, this particular medicine wheel, and giving a two-hour lecture. And that's certainly a very, very brief understanding of it, but it's a beginning place. And I will be teaching it in Farmington Hills, Michigan at the Mercy Center. And if you're interested in attending any of the workshops that I teach, lectures, workshops, please go to my website, elainegrohman.com, and you'll find that information. It's a really powerful, powerful way of looking at How do we step away from our emotions? First of all, understanding that we are a spirit inhabiting a body. Without spirit, without this mystical, mysterious presence that is spirit, how is it that spirit can animate this flesh and bone and allow us to move, to have emotions, to have cognition, to have understanding, to have so many things? And many of the challenges that people have in their life is they experience, as we all do, the world through the emotions. That is the way that we perceive, and that can be a perception that can be either a joyful perception or a threatening perception. But the challenge that we have in our world today is most people define themselves by their emotions. And this beautiful medicine wheel called the Four Powers of the Human Self help us to learn how to separate from the emotions so that we can begin to use the mind. And that means that we begin to analyze, we begin to view, we begin to separate ourselves from the emotions so that it can be a contributing, beautiful way of broadening the understanding that we have of ourselves and the world, instead of it being a perpetual, ongoing wounding, which is so important for us to begin to understand. And then once we have that understanding of how to employ the mind, then we begin to understand who the self is that we are. The capital S self, not the little self, not the self that you kind of hide away from, but the powerful self that you are. Because I want to tell you for sure, 100%, there isn't a single person on this planet that didn't want to be here. And every single person on this planet has a purpose, has a mission, has something that they are meant to do. But often that purpose is thwarted by unreasonable belief systems that we have that are very limiting, by governance that we have that can at times inhibit freedoms, that we have forgotten that we have choices in life and we have a choice to be happy. So then there's the next medicine wheel that I'll be talking about is in July 19th. And that is called the powers of the four directions. And once you have an understanding from the first medicine wheel, or not the first, the previous medicine wheel, four powers of the human self, then if you know who the self is that is you, that is uniquely you, that has the attributes, that has the history, that has the skill set, that has the knowledge and the wisdom, by the way, because knowledge and wisdom are not the same, then you can walk into life with clarity. So then you can begin to have a contact and awareness of inspirations. You can learn how to be introspective about things. You can learn how to become more consciously aware of what you're doing so that when you go out into the world, you're a more benevolent, impactful, beneficial, contributing member of society, which is what we want to do, which is what our hope is. And so those are just a few of the things that I talk about in the medicine wheels. And one of the things that I want you to know is these are by no means simple things. On a medicine wheel, as many people see, they follow what's called the cardinal directions. So a medicine wheel, as you might suspect, is a circle. So a circle could be drawn on the ground, it could be drawn on a piece of paper, it could be created by putting rocks in particular areas or anything just to model or to give you a visual perception of where things begin. And every medicine wheel begins in the east, for the simple fact that that is what was observed, that every day began in the east. Every single solitary day that has ever existed on this planet in human history, the sun always rose in the east, without exception. So they followed these patterns of nature. And so you would see the north, south, east, and west, and all of those have very, very, very important, powerful positions. And then what is called the secondary positions, which would be northeast, southeast, southwest, northwest. And those all represent different things. I hope to someday be able to, in the very near future, actually create some video content that I want to put on my website so that people can see. It's often very more helpful if you can see what I'm talking about. But I would like you to consider going and learning a little bit about the medicine wheels, which I want to teach, because they are very, very powerful tools for helping us to understand our place in the world. And we don't have to look very far in the media right now, and we see just madness. We see madness in politics. We see, you know, hurling of insults and poor behavior and less than stellar behavior. And that's not leadership. And it most certainly is not wisdom. And we need to have wisdom in order to lead this planet, in order to make corrections to the things that we have done. So we just are going to take a break here in just a minute. I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about some of the work that I do, which is called Sacred Geometry and Energy Medicine. And perhaps Nate and I can just have a little bit of discussion, because I want to actually show him how to do it so that he can talk about what it feels like and how that begins. So I'm Elaine Grohman. I'm interviewing myself today, which is kind of fun. And this is Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio. And I welcome you to come back in the next half hour. We'll continue the discussion. Thanks.
A bright future starts with a healthy lifestyle.
Pinocchio, I'm a real boy.
Good nutrition and physical activity are fuel for your child's mind and body.
Now you're talking.
And the food pyramid will help you find the right balance of everything you and your child need. Grains, vegetables, fruits, oils, milk, and meats and beans.
Nothing can stop me now.
Just remember, smart choices from every food group, along with the right amount of physical activity, can put everyone on the path to better health.
Look, the wishing star.
You don't have to make a wish for a healthier you to come true. Just eat right.
Here's an apple.
Be active.
Come on, I'll race you home.
And make it balance.
Attaboy, Pinocchio.
A healthy lifestyle can lead to great things for you and your child. Visit MyPyramid.gov to learn more. That's MyPyramid.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ad Council.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the woods, just outside of town.
Oh, not surprising. You've got your home. Bears have theirs.
Yeah, but see, this wasn't just any bear. This bear was wearing jeans and a hat, as in a Smokey Bear.
Jeans and a hat. That's definitely Smokey. What exactly did he have to say?
Well, we were about to head home, you know, after having a bonfire.
Oh, I can guess where this is going.
Right, right. See, Smokey told me the fire wasn't actually out. He said if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
That's true. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
Wow, no kidding?
I'm a forest ranger. We never kid.
Sorry.
That was a joke.
Oh.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Now back to Elaine Grohman and Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Welcome back. This is Elaine Grohman. I always start moving when I hear this music. I feel like I got to dance, Nate. I don't know about you. But I love that. Thank you. Welcome back. I'm Elaine Grohman. This is Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio. And I want to tell you about some really interesting things that are happening actually tomorrow, which is June 14th. And so actually it'll be when you're listening to that, this it'll be today. So on Tuesday, June 14th, there's a really cool thing that's happening in Washington, D.C. It's called the United State of Women. And it is this summit that is being commenced that really talks about women's issues. And I'm just going to read something from their website. By the way, the website is www.theunitedstateofwomen.org. And it says there's plenty that's been done by and for women and girls, but there's still plenty to do. Convened by the White House, this summit will rally all of us together to celebrate what's been achieved, how we can take this going, how we're going to take action going moving forward, and covering key gender equality issues will make a powerful difference in our collective future. So I would really highly recommend that you maybe get involved in some way, join, you know, whatever it is that you want to do. They're going to talk about economic empowerment, health and wellness, educational opportunities, violence against women, which is a really important topic, entrepreneurship and innovation, leadership and civic engagement. And by the way, this is not just a one-day event. This is something that needs to go forward so that as, again, talking about what I was talking about in the previous half hour is we need to understand how to work together as human beings. It's really, really important. And the next thing that I want to share with you is I'm really excited about my guest that's going to be on the show next week. Her name is Tiffany Pham. She was recently cited as one of the 30 under 30, and she is the founder and CEO of this really amazing online platform called Mogul, M-O-G-U-L. If you go to the website, it's www.onmogul.com, and it's a platform that reaches 18 million viewers. That is astonishing numbers. And she's only been in existence for 2 years as this platform. And her idea was to bring women globally together to talk about anything from relationships to child rearing to employment to poverty to any of the challenges globally that women face. And I'm really honored to say that I was personally asked by Tiffany to be what's called a global influencer. So there's about 750 global influencers around the globe, and I'm really honored to be among that group and to really lend my voice to what I feel is important as, I guess you could call me an elder. And it's just a really cool thing. So I'm really looking forward to seeing and talking with, or not seeing her, but talking with her about the work that she's doing to help to bring women together and help give women's voices the much needed platform that they deserve. So what I want to do right now is, and Nate, God bless him, is willing to be a willing participant with me. And what I want to do is explain to you one of the things that I've been very involved with for now 20 years, which is called energy medicine. I have been a practitioner for 20 years. I've had my own practice. I teach about energy medicine. I've been teaching sacred geometry and energy medicine since 2002. And I'll talk about that a little bit. But what this is really a physical, physiological, tactile, visceral experience of your connection to the earth. And so what I'd like you to do, if you don't mind, Nate, is sure. Just to sit straight with your back up. Upright, so you all know, right. Not rigid, like but just straight. Yeah,
this good.
Yep, your feet flat on the floor, your hands just like they are. So his hands are his fingers
right on my knees,
on his knees, yeah. Fingers pointing towards his knees, and just close your eyes for a moment. And what I'd like you to do is, as you feel things, first I'm going to share with you what to do. And if you're sitting in your own home, I would suggest that you just try this really easily. Just sit comfortably with your back comfortably straight, but not rigid. Feet flat on the floor, hands on your lap with your palms down, close your eyes. And I want you to imagine, if you would, that the tips of your fingers and the tips of your toes are open as if they were like straws. Meaning, so that whatever needs to leave your body as effortlessly as an exhalation can leave your body. And I want you to imagine that you could see in your mind's eye the bottom of your feet, right on the arch of each foot, And imagine you could see in your mind's eye what looks like the closed lens of a camera right on the arch of each foot. And imagine in your mind you could watch these two camera lenses slowly begin to dilate. And when they get to the full dilation, pay attention to what your body feels like, and imagine these remain open as if there was a hole in the bottom of your feet. And if you would, just say whatever it is you feel, but don't open your eyes, please, Nate.
I feel like literally what you described, you know what I mean? So like the fingertips open, same with the feet.
Okay. Is there any sensations you notice in your body?
Kind of shivers, I guess, up my back.
Okay, good. Can I touch the top of your head?
Yes.
Okay, keep your eyes closed. I'm going to move my... You don't have to lean. I want you to just pay attention to what I'm doing. So what I'm doing is just with my middle finger, which is referred to as the fire finger, I am just touching the top of his head, which is where the crown chakra is. So can you tell me, did you notice anything other than my physical touch when I did that?
I kind of feel like you opened the top of me.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense, and I'll explain it in just a minute. But what physiological sensations do you notice, if any?
Can you be more specific?
Okay. Sorry. Does your body feel light or heavy?
Light, very light.
Do you feel any tingling?
Not anymore.
But you did?
I did.
Okay. Yes. Where did you feel it?
On my back.
Okay. With your eyes closed, what color do you see?
Green.
What color green?
Like a light green.
Okay, good. So now I want you to open your eyes and go like this. So what I'm going to do is have him rub his hands together real quickly. And then bring your hands about 3 to 4 inches apart like this. Close your eyes again and pay attention to the space between your hands. And just for a moment, pay attention to what that sensation feels like. What does it feel like in between your hands? What do you notice?
It's very, it's cool.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? Okay, bring your hands back and look at me for a second if you can. Bring your hands back and forth like this. Still paying attention to your feet being wide open. And what do you feel here between your hands?
Energy.
What do you mean? What does energy feel like? So remember, like, this is radio, sweet pea.
Oh, God, sorry. Yeah, pushing and pulling.
Okay, so what I want to tell you is you just felt your own aura.
Yeah.
So it kind of feels like a magnet?
Yes, there you go.
Okay.
That's a perfect word.
Okay.
I wasn't sure what to expect doing this.
That's the whole idea. Yeah. I don't want to preemptively bring somebody to something.
Yeah.
Now, as you're doing that, and don't let your fingertips touch for a moment, pay attention to the bottoms of your feet again, as if they were wide open, and tell me what sensations you notice in your body.
I just feel very relaxed.
Okay.
Just very relaxed.
Okay, good. All right, you can stop. So this is what I initially help people understand. We forget that we live on a living, breathing generator.
Yes.
Okay? So the Earth has poles. Not just North Pole and South Pole, but there's polarities, which means that there's a current that moves around the Earth. Mm-hmm. And that, if we look outside, that sustains all the life that is on this planet. That generator is creating the life that moves through us. So often what happens is immediately when someone opens the chakras on the bottoms of their feet, and that's the most important ones you should open, by the way, energy immediately starts to move into your body. And I would equate it to, imagine your 2 feet are like 2 prongs of a plug that just plugged into the earth. So I always often say to people, well, what do I have to do? Do I have to direct that energy? And the answer is no. Because like when you plug in something into an outlet, you don't have to tell that electrical current how to move along the wire. It just does it, right? Well, the same is true with our physiology. The nervous system just lets energy move, okay? And the first symptom, or not symptom, the first signal, I should say, that your body gets is this like tingling sensation.
Mm-hmm.
You felt that,
yes.
Right? Okay. So the tingle is your whole body is lined with nerves, obviously, and nerves are lined with nerve endings. As energy moves past it, it stimulates the nerve endings. And then the body starts to get the full distribution of energy that it needs. And the amazing thing people is people say, oh my gosh, I feel so relaxed. Or, oh my gosh, my pain just is gone. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't, it's not miraculous. It's you have better blood flow. You have better neurological connectivity. So everything is getting what it needs, and pain is a signal that something is wrong. You see? So the floodgates of energy have just moved to that area that was diminished before. And then your vibration literally starts to raise. Okay? So I often make the analogy. Imagine you were, every morning you unplugged your cell phone and it had been charging all night long. Okay? So it's 100%, right?
Right.
Until you, as soon as you take that plug out, it's running on its own reserve. And that's what we do.
Yeah.
We run on our own reserve and it's gradually going down. But on top of, you know, diminishing the battery life of the phone, the human body is under stress. It may be in pain. It may be hydrated. It may be dehydrated. It may have had food. It may not have had food. There are so many things that are affecting the physiology. So you want to give the body as much energy as it possibly can have in order to function. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, that's a perfect analogy.
Okay. So, well, thank you for being willing to try that. But do you have a question?
Yeah, I was going to say, so this is kind of where you start with all of your clients.
Yeah.
So if I wanted to do this again on my own, would I just do the same
thing? You would, yes. And I strongly suggest to people that they remain grounded all day long for the remainder of their life. However, when people come to me, since when I first got involved with hospice, I mean, with energy medicine, I was working in hospice. Mm-hmm. So I was working every day with the dying. And it was because I was with a family member who was dying. And she was actually in a comatose state. And I was just holding her hand and thanking her for what she had done for us in our lives. And she was very important to us. And literally the best way I could describe this experience, it was like a light switch flipped on. She opened her eyes as if nothing was wrong.
Wow.
And she looked at me and she said, I see my sister. And then I felt this literal in the room. I felt her spirit leave her body. She closed her eyes, went right back to that comatose state. And what was so amazing to me was that sister she could see was my mother who had died when I was 13 years old. And at that time, that had been 27 years since she had passed. So I was 40 years old. That was 20 years ago.
Wow.
And I was just so moved by that experience. A few days later at her funeral, I actually spoke about it. And the hospice chaplain came up to me and she said, Elaine, have you ever thought about working for a hospice? I thought, well, geez, I don't know if I want to do that because it was so fresh and raw.
Yeah.
But I eventually became a hospice volunteer and then I started to study energy medicine when I got employed there. So I was in the worst case scenarios every single day working with people who's not only were, you know, they were not only physically dying, but there was a lot of emotion attached to it. Not just theirs, but their families. And it was such an amazing awakening to me. And I thought, I got to learn about this. So it's been 20 years doing this. So what I teach now, so thank you for being a willing participant.
Thank you, Elaine.
Yeah. So when people come to see me, it's an hour-long session typically, sometimes a little bit longer. And what I want people to understand that energy medicine, and I like to use the blanket term of energy medicine, because there's many methodologies for using energy, just like there's many different ways to use electricity. They're not all the same and they don't all have the same wattage. So people ask me all the time. In fact, I had a conversation yesterday with somebody. What's the difference between Reiki and healing touch and therapeutic touch and sacred geometry? Well, in essence, you're using the same energy, but you're using it in different patterning, in different ways. So the term sacred geometry, and many people think that has a religious connotation, and it does not at all. The term sacred means something deserving of respect. And geometry is the actual definition of geometry is the measure of the earth. Measurement. Geometry is measurement. So it kind of goes hand in hand with the medicine wheels, because what great minds centuries ago recognized is that there are certain patterns that are inherent in nature. So, for instance, there is a certain geometric patterning at which a wave will crest and break. There is a particular geometric patterning in which cells divide. There is particular patterning in which atoms, molecules are created and how they work together. So there's patterns in nature. You know, even in our physical body, most people don't realize. And I went to school as a graphic designer and as an artist at the Center for Creative Studies many, many, many moons ago. And, you know, when you're learning just about the anatomy of the human body, most people don't realize that their nose is exactly the length of their ear, and the same width as their eye, and the same width to the bottom of their chin. You know, there's geometry, there's proportion. And so sacred geometry and energy medicine is a way of moving energy in particular patterns that has a tendency to quicken the energy. It has a tendency to make it happen faster, help the body help itself faster. And so the clients that come to me are anything from people that are just trying to be de-stressed in this very stressful world, or they're understanding the importance of self-care, like you would go and get your teeth cleaned, you'd go and get a massage, you'd go and do different things to help your body be in balance. That some people come for that. Many people come to me when they're very, very sick. And actually, I've had physicians and referrals from physicians. I've had actual physicians as clients and referrals from physicians because they recognize that there's more going on in the human body than what just pharmacological agents can do. And so when we recognize, if we can kind of get back to the basics of what is already in place to help us sustain our lives. Now, certainly I would never, ever advocate that you don't take medication. You have to take medication if it's appropriate. But there's many times that, you know, integrative medicine, of which energy medicine is now considered part of integrative medicine, that you would use good nutrition, that you would use perhaps yoga, meditation, physical therapy, occupational therapy, energy medicine, energy healing, all of these things, psychotherapy, you know, spiritual guidance from a rabbi or a minister or a priest or just a trusted friend. You know, we're not just isolated to what is physiologically happening to us and then just needing pharmacological agents. So one of the things that I feel is very important is really talking to people and helping them to understand that you always have a choice. You always have a choice in what you're doing. So if you're doing things more consciously, that doesn't mean that you're myopic in what you're doing, but you're thinking about, and let's say you have an interaction with somebody. Do you want to have that interaction ruin the remainder of your day? For instance, you pull out of the parking lot here and you get on the road and somebody cuts you off. Were you going to let that one incident ruin your whole day? But how many people do that? Or how many people allow it to escalate? And one of the things that I try to help people understand is, you know, there is really no such thing as an accident, because everything happens from either distraction or negligence. So, you know, they talk about the accidents that happen with texting, or they happen with drunk driving or impaired driving. That is a conscious, volitional act. That is not an accident. That is a known trajectory of danger. And so when we understand that these things, then we have an opportunity to take a different point of view about it and do something positive for it. So those are some of the things that I'm trying to do in this world today. And one of the next things is, just this past weekend, I had a really fun experience. Way before I became an energy healer, way before I was on radio or TV or whatever, I was an artist. And my specialty was calligraphy and lettering. So have you ever seen Roush Racing?
Yes.
You know that racing? That's my lettering.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's really cool. That's awesome.
You know, so I was known as a lettering artist. So things that were not just typefaces, you know, and I had my work that would be in galleries and fine art pieces and commercial pieces and things like that. And again, as I started out earlier in the hour, talking about, you know, the importance of words, the importance of words. And one of the things that I got to do recently through a friend, and I have this on my Facebook page, which is Elaine M. Grohman, is a friend of mine asked me to create on a wall about the size of the wall here. You know how so many people have now what they call chalkboard walls? They paint it black and then you create this beautiful or whatever. And, you know, some people do menus, whatever. Well, I created an entire piece of art. The whole wall is a piece of art. So one of the things that I want to do to try to, you know, supplement these other ideas that I'm going to talk to you about in just a minute, is to do the fun things with the skill set that I have to kind of fund these other projects. So do you remember, you might remember, Nate, and I hope that, you know, the listening audience can certainly listen back into the podcast of the two guests that I had on, Bob Flewelling, who was a gentleman who worked with men who had been accused or had been convicted, I should say, not only accused, but convicted of domestic violence. And he works with them to help them to understand how to step away from their emotions long enough to use their mind and make a better choice. Kind of following the medicine wheel patterns. And then the second guest that I've been working with is Michelle Zukowski Glazer, who is a former U.S. Marshal and parole officer. And what we're trying to do and what we're beginning to do is to bring together groups of people. So the three of us would talk about the challenges that they have seen as people in law enforcement that are replicated time and time and time again. And what they have both seen is that there's such a challenge and such a need for people to begin to learn how to think differently. And then so with their expertise and their experiences of helping people understand, we're trying to gather together groups of people to create like healing circles to bring. And then I would talk about the medicine wheels so that people can actually have a tangible, literally, if they wanted to draw it on a piece of paper, they could use that as a roadmap of how do I step away from my emotions? How do I begin to think differently? And excuse me. And one of the things that Bob had mentioned was, I don't know if he mentioned it on air, but certainly in a conversation that we had, that he had had experiences of some of the gentlemen that were court ordered to go through his counseling sessions of managing anger, not only managing anger, but stepping away from anger. Is that he always had an open invitation for these gentlemen to come back if they wanted to. And a couple of men have done so. And one gentleman said, I wished I would have known this as a child. I wish I would have known this in my early adolescence where I was, you know, faced with challenging experiences. And my first response was to be angry. My first response was to retaliate physically. And he said, I wish I would have known that. So that is one of the things that we're, and myself personally, I really want to do is to bring back the information and the guidance of these medicine wheels, because the information is so relevant to our world. How do we begin to change everything? You know, it's like you look at the newspaper, you watch television, you hear on radio, these unbelievable bantering back and forth of people that are supposed to be our leaders. And they're doing anything but leading. And it becomes an ego match of who can be the most outrageous, who can be the most mudslinging, and nothing really is accomplished. So, you know, let that play out. That's going to play out. It is, however it is, and people can get all in up in arms. But you know, the thing that we have to remember is we're responsible for how we think. We are responsible for what we do. And how we contribute to the betterment of the world. So that is one of the things that I'm helping people. So, Nate, getting back to energy medicine, as throughout your day, what I suggest to people is all day long, just pay attention to the bottoms of your feet. Because energy, think of yourself, and I often people say, well, imagine you're a tree. Well, you're not a tree because you need mobility. However, you're connected to the earth just like the tree. Mm-hmm. Okay. And in Native American tradition, a medicine person refers to themselves as a hollow bone, meaning they're like a conduit. They're like that jumper cable for the energy of the earth to move into someone else. And there's actually really important physiological reasons why you would want to have energy coming up is because blood is made in your bones. And the long bones, in particular the femur and the pelvic girdle, those are the biggest producers of blood and therefore the base of your immune system and therefore the base of your health. And then energy needs to move up and out of your body, just like an exhalation, inhalation and exhalation. So we're just almost out of time. I really want to thank you, Nate, for participating with me, and thanks for being the great guy that you are and my producer. and really feel free to contact me at elainegroman.com with any questions. I do travel to teach. I do travel to lecture, and I'm really happy to announce that I was just invited to be one of the presenters at the Love Soul Fest, which is happening in September just outside of Chicago, Illinois. And I will be one of the speakers there to help to bring in information about the medicine wheels and what we can do to change our thinking for ourselves to make this planet a better place. Again, I'm Elaine Grom, and this is Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio. Thank you so much. Make this a wonderful day. It's up to you. Change the way you think. Change the way you believe things to be, and your world will change. I guarantee it.